Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah.
We do serve a powerful God. We serve a God who created the heavens and the earth. We serve a God who created the stars and the galaxies, and so far out there we can't even, what we can see isn't even begin to touch his creation. Amen. But in the midst of that, the Bible says, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down." You may be seated, by the way. "You know when I lie, you stand up. You know when I stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I'm far away." Does that mean even when we haven't come into his presence on purpose, he still knows our thoughts? He's still concerned. He knows every detail. "You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. And you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. How can I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even when there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me even before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book." What? "Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God." I want you to hear this. "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. God, you are good. So good, we don't even know. And God, we just stand in awe of your goodness and reverent awe of your wonderful being, God. You are just, words can't express, God, who you are. And God, I pray for a deeper revelation for this group of believers to know the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of God for them. God, I pray that you would just cause us all to come into a fuller revelation of just who you are, God. Because as we are revealed, if you're revealed more and more to us, Lord God, our response is always going to be to draw near to you, God. Because to know you is to love you. There's just no other way about it, God. So I pray that you would just break every wrong mentality of who you are off of the people, off the minds of this church, Father God. I pray that you would just renew our minds, God, and that we would know who you are more and more and more. God, reveal yourself to us, God. We love you. We love you, God, and we give you the praise today in this place and always, God. Thank you for being with us always, God. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. How are we? All right, morning. Oh, I'll tell you what. I had a good 2 weeks. What about you? Oh, come on now. My team's in the playoffs, right? But you know what? I'm more excited about what God's doing in my family, what God's doing in our church, and what he's doing in our city. You know, football, it's fun, but it has no eternal purpose, right? Well, Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And this is actually serious. I'm transitioning to something serious. And all of you got a bulletin today, and we passed this out to you. And this is just an announcement that our beloved Carol Lewis has passed away. And this is an incredibly sad time for the family and for us that have known her, and for many of you that have known her for decades. And I just want to read this in honor of her life. Carol Lewis, longtime beloved ALCC member, Carol Lewis passed away Thursday, January 3rd in Missouri. She fought a faith-filled 8-year battle with leukemia. Today we rejoice as she experiences victory and joy in the presence of Jesus. Carol and her family came to Anchorage in Abbott Loop in 1978. She raised her daughter Jennifer and son Rick as a single mother. She taught in children's church and Sunday school for many years, touching hundreds of children and families through her ministry. Carol was a longtime member and unofficial small group called Old Single Active Gals, the OSAGs. It's a great name. I love it. It cracks me up all the time. They shared many adventures and times of laughter together. She worked as a public health nurse for many years until her retirement in 2004. Carol was an intelligent, capable person, full of faith and joy and service to many. Her life is a testimony of God's grace to everyone who knew her. Her reward in heaven will be great, but she will be greatly missed here by her family and friends and her church. A memorial service and celebration of the life of Carol Lewis will be held Saturday, January 19th at 3 p.m. in the ALCC gymnasium. That's right here. I want to encourage all of you to be here. You know, like I said, the Bible says that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn. Look, we mourn the sadness of the loss of a great woman, but we rejoice in the life well lived and the reward that she gets in heaven. This is what kingdom life is all about. What we're going to do on Saturday, the 19th, is what it's all about. I promise you, your life will be different when you hear the testimonies about this pillar in the kingdom of God. I promise you. Some people look like little old ladies, but these are pillars in the kingdom of God. And there's many of them in this church. And I want to encourage you, young people, you don't know who this is, you should come because you'll know about her life. And it'll inspire you to live a life worth living for God. I promise you. Rick and Suki, I'm so blessed that you are here. Will you guys stand so we can gather around you? Rick is Carol's son, and this is his daughter-in-law, Suki Lewis. And church, will we gather around them? Is it okay if we pray for you? Of course, because you have no choice now. Church, gather around them. I'm honored to know your mother. She had a great impact in my life in the last 11 years that I've known her. And I know that we will never see until we get to heaven the great ripple effect of her discipling and her care and love to all of us and all of those that we can't even see. So, Father, thank you for Rick and Suki and the whole family, the Lewis family. God, we just stand with them and we grieve with them and rejoice with them because their mother was so great. She was so great, and we miss her dearly. And we rejoice with her life lived and with her reward that, God, you are pouring out on her even as we speak. And she is living in the midst of your presence fully. And she fully knows as she is fully known in you. And so, God, we pray that you will help them as they mourn and grieve. God, just fill them with comfort and minister to them deeply today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, church, for praying. Thank you for just being here today. I'm going to humbly dedicate, and hopefully I'm not being too presumptuous to do this. And please forgive me, Rick, if I am. But I'm going to dedicate my message to Kara Lewis today. And what I'm going to preach about, sometimes when someone gets up and preaches a big, inspiring type message or whatever, which hopefully this is, setting myself up here for a cliff. But we think of General Patton. We think of, you know, Ronald Reagan, or we think of, you know, some, you know, Braveheart character. And what I wish we would think of is this little old lady right here. This is what I want you to have in your mind. And I want you to see the greatness in you. The greatness and humility, which is what God says that we're called to live in. And when we live in true humility, God gives grace to the humble, the diligent, the faithful. Kara Lewis had incredible godly character. And in my personal opinion, she was a general in the army of God. This is a pillar. And so when I'm going to preach this message today, I want you to think about her. And I want to just dedicate this message to her life and her memory. And hopefully I don't really screw it up. All right. So open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6. This might be my last message in Nehemiah. I might have one more. We will see. Okay, I'll do it. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershom, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors and gates. So Sanballat and Gershom sent a message asking me to meet them at once in the village in the plain of Ono. They could have picked a better spot to not give away their plan. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. Oh, no. So I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I cannot come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. We're going to skip down to verse 9. They were just trying to intimidate us. Imagining that they could discourage us to stop the work. So I continued to work with even greater determination. Later, I went to visit Shemaiah. He said, "Let us meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the doors shut. Your enemies are coming to kill you tonight." But I replied, "Should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it." I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin. Then they would be able to accuse and distract me. Discredit me? Whatever. Both. Discredit me. Let's go to our 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. "Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You must run like Marshawn Lynch." No, you must run. Sorry. You guys don't watch sports very much, do you? Or movies. You guys are more godly than me. That's not fair. All right. "You must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice self strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. See, why we have a life that's designed for greatness. God put it inside of each one of us, and it's alive in us through the power of God's presence, and it's designed that when someone speaks to that greatness, that we start to feel it stir. And we're like, it's true. There is something in me that is great, that wants to come out, that wants to do something great, and it wants to strive to be great. And when we watch great movies, or we watch athletes that are the best at what they do, when you watch, like, one of my favorite running backs, Marshawn Lynch, run over 8 guys for a touchdown to win a playoff game. It's the best run in playoff history. You should watch it on YouTube. It's really good. It's 67 yards. Breaks 8 tackles. This guy has the eye of the tiger. Listen, you need the eye of the tiger, right? Something deep inside. Something that says, I'm not going to quit. Something that says, never die, right? All the way to the end zone, all the way to the victory, right? Each one of you needs the eye of the tiger. Come on, stand up right now. Come on. Come on, everybody. If you stand up. Come on. Yeah. What's in there? Come on. Let's throw some punches. Come on, throw some punches. You got a bottom of the week. What's in there? Right?
I'm looking up for out the street.
Right? Come on now. What's in you?
Rousing up.
Come on, is there something inside of you that you know you're meant for?
Did my time, right? Took my chances.
Right? You have a determination in you that says, I will never quit. I'm
going
to go to the end zone. I'm going to finish what I started in Christ. Where are you? Right? What's going on? Listen, every great athlete, if you run to win, every kingdom believer, you run to win. Not to lose, but to win. Inside. It starts in there. Eye of the tiger. Right? Eye of the tiger. Right? That's it. We're good. Eye of the tiger. Sit down. Come on now. What's in there? Eye of the tiger. Yeah. You got to have it. You got to have it. The Bible says you got to have it. You don't necessarily. Listen, we ride this great sovereign wave that our God created for us. You got to get on the wave. You got to be on that wave through that determination in you that says, listen, I'm going to be about the will of God no matter what. No matter what. Look, we see when they come all against him, they bring all these distractions and they come to try draw Nehemiah away from his great work. He just says this, so I continued the work with even greater determination, eye of the tiger. Even greater determination, eye of the tiger. Now, Rocky movies are one of the most boring movies of all time, except for like 20 minutes of greatness. And somehow they can redeem 20 hours of the most drawn out, torturous, I can barely understand what Balboa is saying, drama. And they redeem all of that with a few moments of bam, 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 right? He's all like, it's so awesome. We all want to see the underdog win. That's why you're all rooting for the Seahawks this week, right? We all want to see the underdog win. And Balboa is the ultimate underdog of all time. He's 5 foot nothing, should never be a boxer. And he gets in there, and because he can never quit, he can never say die. And he can take punches and never stop. That's the only reason Balboa ever won anything. And Adrian. It was Adrian. She was his fuel, right? We've got to have a fuel. We have to be about such a great work, right? We got to be about a great work. And when Sanballat and Tobiah come against Nehemiah, they send him all these letters and they try to draw him out to this plane called Oh No. And they're trying to actually harm him and distract him from the work, from completing the work that God had given him. And they give all these reasons. They send letter after letter and all these lies and all of this deception to try to draw him away and distract him from his great purpose. And he responds to them and says this in verse 3. He says, I'm engaged in a great work, so I cannot come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Look, first of all, you and I have to have a great work. God destined us for a great work. You've got to have something to have the eye of the tiger about. And in Corinthians, it said what? It says that we need to run like we're running for the prize, like we're going to win it. And we have to practice self-control and strict discipline so that we can go after that prize. But not a prize that will fade away, but one with that has an eternal purpose. People are that prize. You'll hear me say this 10,000 times if you come to this church. 10,000. I'll start now. Discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. Open your heart for one more person. Allow one more person into your life. Discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. That is the eternal prize. Matthew 28, right? Jesus tells his disciples, he says, go and make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, our job is to lead people to Jesus and bring them into the kingdom of God. And 1 Peter says that we're built together as living stones, right? All built together, it's this beautiful house. And 1 Corinthians 3 says that we are wise master builders, right? That our job is to be building that house. That is the work of the Lord. That is the great work of the Lord that the Holy Spirit is empowering us to do here on earth, is to build the house of God. Not all the stuff. This stuff helps us gather things, chairs, technology, whatever, helps us communicate to make disciples. But it's your and my job to have a great work that can't be stopped, a force of love that is unstoppable. Unstoppable. And that work is making disciples. Have you made one? If you haven't, that's all right. Get to be about a great work, an eternal prize. That's a person. Only people go to heaven. That's the eternal prize. That's worth trading your life for. Your hearts beat. You never get them back. Trade them for something that's worth it. Another person. Your children. Your spouses. Your friends. Your family. Your neighbors. Your co-workers. Make a friend. You don't have any friends? Make a friend. You need help? Make some friends in the church. Work together. Build together. Inspire one another together. But have a great work. Have a great work. It's not complicated. You don't have to have a lot of abilities. But you do need to do one thing that Nehemiah did, is he had a great work and he stayed on task. Right? You have to stay on task. I'm going to read just something out of this book here called The Wiki Church. This church is a church that started with a few college students in the Philippines and became a church of 58,000 people in a matter of just a couple decades. All through one thing, discipleship. Just making disciples, nothing fancy. And this is their strategy, and it's like this. There once was a judo master whose student was involved in a serious auto accident. The 10-year-old boy's left arm was so badly injured that it had to be amputated. Everyone thought that would end the boy's judo aspirations. However, the loss of an arm only increased the boy's determination to compete. So, despite the amputation, the judo master agreed to continue training the boy, but he focused all of his training on one extremely difficult move. The boy complained, wanting to be like the others who were learning all aspects of the sport. The old master convinced his one-armed student not to question, but to learn. So they practiced that one move day after day, week after week, and month after month. Eventually, the one-armed boy was allowed to enter a judo tournament where he surprised everyone by advancing through several rounds into the finals. His opponent, the champion in the championship round, was faster, stronger, and more experienced. This guy had mastered dozens of judo techniques, and he had two arms. Lucky him. The one-armed boy seemed completely outmatched. Spectators admired his courage and determination, but felt sorry for him. Then, at one point in the contest, the superior athlete lost concentration. At that moment, the one-armed boy executed his one move. There was nothing his opponent could do to escape. After the match, everyone wanted to know how the one-armed boy could possibly have been the champion. He won for two reasons, his master said. First of all, he has mastered one of the most difficult moves in all of judo. Second, the only defense against that move is to grab your opponent's left arm. I do not know if the story is true, but it has circulated around locker rooms and pulpits for years in various forms. It may be just a motivational speaker's legend, but it does make a good point about the importance of discipleship. Look, we don't have to be good at everything, or really anything but one thing. We need one indefensible move, right? Is that the right word? No one can defend love. No one can defend your heart and life opening up for another person and making room for them, and then loving them with such determination that you'll never let go. You learn how to execute that move to mastery. And that's it. Just keep doing it over and over and over again. This is what Jesus did. He taught his disciples to disciple people. Not to create great shows, but to actually impart and impact people with the truth and the foundation, the fundamentals of Christ and his life living in them. And remember, what God is doing in you is so much more important than what he's trying to do through you. What he's doing in you is so much more important than what he's trying to do through you. Allow God to peer into this inside of your heart, the depths of your being, and challenge who you are so that when you open up your life to someone else's, it has a positive impact on them. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know Jesus and know how to love him and love him back and love others. Allow them in. You have a great work. You and I need to stay on task. I believe that the church has gone off task. We've gone off task, searching all kinds of different veins of Christianity and chasing, like what drug addicts call chasing the dragon. Some extra high, and charismatics, we probably might be at the top of the list where we've made a lot of mistakes here. We just chase that next experience and that next experience with God rather than chasing after souls. And looking to open our heart for people. And in that experience, we experience the power and love of God in the full gospel way. Holy Spirit, radical move. I've watched God just jump inside of people and transform them and change them in an instant. Their whole life is turned around. And of course, they're still working on their journey. And it's not all perfect. But they have God living inside of them to equip them to tackle every circumstance in their life. To go forward with that great determination, even when all this adversity is coming around. Man, eye of the tiger. Nehemiah had the eye of the tiger. These people come to distract him. He's like, no, I've got a purpose for God. I'm going to stay on task. I'm building the house of God. I'm building the people of God. I'm building a place so that we can become a nation. And he doesn't just stop with the building. He builds all of the building and they get it all the way done and all the walls and everything. Then they start reading the law and him and Ezra get out the book and a whole bunch of Levites and they start reading and the law and they start... People start repenting and turning their heart back to God and turning towards one another and fixing their relationships. They fix their gaps in the walls. Then they fix their relationships. He didn't stop until the whole work was done. You and I, we can't stop. We can't retire. Kara Lewis did not retire. Kara Lewis had the eye of the tiger. She was always on task and always about the Lord's business. Am I right? She just always was. In her simple, very, very methodical, faithful way. Always about the Lord's business. Listen, a lot of little investments add up to a lot. You want $1 million or you want a penny double the day for a month? You guys ever seen that? Penny double the day for a month ends up being like millions of dollars. One penny affecting two and then... Those two multiply and then multiply and multiply. You and I, touching one person's life, staying on task and touching another and touching another and teaching them to touch others. And then it just explodes into this unstoppable move of God's love. But it's simple. It's on task. We don't get distracted. We don't get distracted from the thing that God has called us to. Listen, there are all kinds of things that are going to come around to try to distract us, like Sanballat coming in and Tobiah coming in and trying to distract them. And you even see Tobias later in the book, he keeps on telling everybody about his good deeds and building all these networks with relationships and trying to infiltrate. Even after they build all the walls and he gets himself a little storehouse and Nehemiah finds out about it and kicks him out of the storehouse. I mean, he just continues to work. And even though you start getting the work done, the enemy is always going to be coming in and trying to distract and get you turned away from the great work of God. And one of the things that I've read and that I believe is that good is the enemy of great. Good opportunities, good ideas that distract us from the task, the great work that God has called us to, distract us from greatness. Greatness is only found when you impart into people's lives. Greatness is only going to be found when you're imparting into other people's lives. Every motivational speaker who doesn't even know Jesus knows that. You and I have to know that the great kingdom work that we are called to, the great, not good, but the great, is not to be easily distracted by all kinds of events, all kinds of just stuff. But our lives should always be diligently about people and be able to push through even the deception and all of the other junk that comes in. And if you want to just hear about facing opposition, last week I preached about facing opposition. You should get that message and just plug it right in, right here. And you could stop this message if you didn't hear it and listen to that message about how do we face opposition in our life in Christ. But what do we do when we're facing distractions? I want you to remember a few things. Remember what your mission is. You feel distraction coming in. You get confused. Come back to your mission. What is my great task? Remember that opportunities are not always from God. Opportunities are not always from God. Some are distractions. You've got to prayerfully consider what you're going to be doing. An opportunity to go to another church. An opportunity, it could be a distraction. An opportunity to stop what you're doing here in our church or in another church or wherever you are, wherever God has called you, man, that could be a distraction. All kinds of new startup things go on all the time. A new wind, a wave of doctrine, a new wind or wave of whatever, you know, that doesn't mean that you and I are called to go do it. What are we called to do? Remember your mission. Opportunities are not always from God. Sometimes they are distractions. You can say no. You can say no. See, by saying no, you're saying yes. When you say no, you're actually saying yes to something else. When I say no, I can't be distracted. I can't come out and meet you in the valley of oh no, the plains of oh no. Because I got a work to do. And that's okay for you to tell people no. You know what? I can't work in the parking lot because God called me to invest in worship. It's okay. You can say no. God called me to invest in people and do a great work of discipleship. So I cannot sign up for every extracurricular thing out there. I can't play racquetball every day or go do whatever every day or golf every single day, whatever it is. If it's distracting you from the great work that God has called you to and it's dragging you out to the plains of, oh no, then you need to consider, is this thing more important than the great work that God has laid in my heart? And if it is, then we repent for idolatry. Eeks. But it's true. And then we make a turn and we come back to the Lord and say, God, I want to be about this great work that you put in my heart. Oh no. Say, oh no. Oh no. Don't get caught in the plains of oh no, right? Distracted from the work of God. Remember, when you say no, you're saying yes. Remember, good is the enemy of great. And don't forget, you got to keep the eye of the tiger, right? Right? Forget it. Don't forget it. Next thing, don't compromise. It's a little reminder there. Some audio reminders. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. We see in verse 11, Nehemiah 6, verse 11, Shemaiah, whatever his name is, he says, it's verse 10 actually, says, let us meet together inside the temple of God, which is a sin, by the way, because Nehemiah is not a Levite. He can't go in. And so it'd be sin for him to enter the temple. And he's saying, do this because they're going to come and they're going to wreck your life. And he says, these people are coming to kill you. But Nehemiah replies and says this, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. I won't. Do it. I won't compromise. The thing I know is wrong, I won't compromise. Don't compromise. Have a great work. Stay on task. Don't compromise. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin. Then they would be able to accuse and discredit me, right? Don't compromise, church. Last point here is finish well. Finish well. And we just go back to verse 9 where Nehemiah, you could see what started inside of his heart is what caused him to finish well. If you just work your way back through the story, you see this where he says, when they came against me, I continued the work with even greater determination. You back up. You see that same determination in his heart. He didn't get it along the way. He had it in the beginning. He always had the eye of the tiger. You back up. You see when they're building a wall, he's like, nobody take off your clothes for 50 days. We're going to work on this wall. Sick. That's the eye of the tiger. Do whatever it takes, whatever it costs. I'm going to succeed no matter what it costs me personally, right? You back up. He had the courage to stand in front of the Artaxerxes, right? Is that right? The king. I think I said it right. He stands in front of the king, right? And he tells him, look, there's my city's in great peril. And he knew, he had fear in that moment because the king had the power to just kill him if he wanted to. And just run him off, put him in prison, whatever. And he had the courage, the eye of the tiger to stand in front of the king and just say, look, there's a great work that's inside of me and God's called me to do it. And I want desperately to be able to do it. And remember I said this before, that following God is always going to be through the road of honoring authority. And he submits himself to the authority that God had established even in a pagan culture. And he says, I know God is God. By doing all this, he says, I know my God is sovereign. And if he wants to do this, he wants to do this great work, no one can stop it. And I'm going to have the courage, the eye of the tiger, to stand in front of the king to do this work. And then the king goes, are you ready to go? He's got to pack his stuff right away. He's like, I'm ready to go. What do you need? He says, he had his plans and preparations laid out. He was ready to just throw it out there and go all in and not turn back. right? And you just see him with this great determination all the way through, with all of them coming in trying to kill him and take his life and discredit his life and distract him from the work that God had called him to. He says no to those distractions and yes to the great work that God had put in his life. He continued to seek God. He prayed. He planned. He prepared, right? He did all of those things. And then he produced and he protected. That was the message last week, right? And then this week, listen, we've got to have a great work. Stay on task, right? What's the next point? Nobody remembers? Don't compromise. Don't compromise. And then you've got to finish well. We're in a church of a lot of people that finish well. It's true. Pastor Dick, finishing well, brother. Amazing example. Carol Lewis, finished well. Right? Many others in this church, don't give up. Finish well. Your example matters. Your determination in your latter years means something in my beginning years, in other young people's beginning years. We will carry on the mission of discipleship in this church. We will not get distracted from that mission. No matter what, no matter how many Tobias and Sanballats and other jokers try to come around and distract us from the work, we're going to continue to do it. Amen, church? Are you with me? The famous words of Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Right, Brad? You keep your job and earn your money in the regular season. But what establishes your legacy is in the postseason. It's all how you finish. It's all how you finish. It's all how you finish. How are you going to finish your life? The way you end a thing is greatly determined by the way you start a thing. So if you're young, how are you starting? If you're old, how are you carrying on that work, that great work that God established in your life? Don't give up. Don't retire. Don't buy into the American dream. Keep going. You got a prize, an eternal prize. You got to get after it. I'm going to close this message with this last passage in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. This is the Apostle Paul, all right? The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's saying, I don't consider, after all of the great things that I have already accomplished in the kingdom, that I have already taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now listen, in finishing well, you can't look back. We honor back. We don't look back. We don't live back. Good and the bad. Good and the bad. We still press on. See, Paul could have gotten puffed up and told a great story about everything he ever did. Right? You just go on and on about all of that stuff, but miss what was ahead of him. The moment of greatness. A person like Timothy to invest his life in. Like Titus to transform an entire city. Press on. Press forward no matter what you're facing. You're called to build in living stones. A great work of God, do it. Don't take your clothes off till you get it done. That's disgusting. Don't stop and get distracted. Stay on task. Don't compromise with sin. Don't let someone or something come in and convince you to compromise with sin. Don't give up. Finish well. Will you stand with me? Oh, I might preach one more message out of Nehemiah. It will be a mystery. We'll see. If you want to read a great book, this is a great book. The Wiki Church by Steve Merle. You can read that. You can also read the Bible. It's a pretty great book. Get some good things out of that. Please don't miss this memorial service for our beloved Carol Lewis. She truly had the eye of the tiger in my mind, in my opinion. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you that you never stop. You're ever pursuing, always about your great work and your business. God, cause us to be believers that matter to others. Wise master builders that build in true living stones. Even as Nehemiah took in burnt stones and built them back out of the rubble heap. God, we're praying that you will build back lost sheep, burnt stones back into this church in a healthy way. We just pray for healing and deliverance from every emotional trauma and disease and sickness and illness and controversy and division. God, bring healing to your body. We need you. We're desperate for you. God, I pray that you would open my eyes to one more person that I can make room for to disciple. God, I pray that you'll open the eyes of our church to make room for one more that they can disciple. And just keep teaching us how to do it better and better and better, and help us to never get distracted from the great work that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anybody here that you want to give your heart to Jesus and you've never done that, you're like, I want to be built into that living house. I want to be a living stone. I want to have a new life in Christ. I know that I was made for more than what I can see and what I am doing right now. I'm going to ask you to meet with me in the front, and I would love to pray with you. Some of our care pastors will be up here to pray with you as well. And we would love to disciple you. We'd love to teach you about who Jesus is and how you can live for him. Amen. I love you, church. God bless you. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you next week. Do something for Jesus. Find a great work for him. God bless you. Have a great day.